Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. No, go to Gospel of John in chapter 14 as we start this message here this morning, and trust it'll be a blessing to you. I just want to read a few verses out of chapter 14, a couple in verse 15, maybe not even a half a dozen isolated or verses all by themselves, just to kind of get us in the right frame of mind this morning. But I want to stand in front of you this morning, by the way, great crowd for the morning we've got going. I know they had 17 below at some of our folks' houses this morning. Cold, blue sky, beautiful. The air is being purified. All those germs are being crystallized and they're falling away or blowing into your neighbor's yard or something like that. And it just kind of feels like it's like a real fresh, and it is, January morning in the UP, in God's Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I count it a privilege to be here, but I want to say this. Thank you for being here yourself, but I want to say this. My heart is full this morning. Overflowing. And I know that there are people listening here in the auditorium, and you have no idea experientially what I'm talking about this morning. And I'm not talking about something that's mystical. That's not it. I want to preach the most disobeyed command in the family of God. I pray that God will get a hold of all of our hearts here this morning. And every person here in the auditorium, or even watching live stream or listening to a radio broadcast, we have all been guilty of this one singular sin. It is a command of God, and we have broken that command again and again. And I dare say, it's Sunday morning, we got a church house full of people that have broken this command already today. Well, we can get it fixed, and we can get it taken care of. But I want to start out by saying my heart is full and I of adoration. I love my God. I love all that he's done for me. I love the fact that I'm going to God's heaven one day. We sang that song, Never Grow Old. I couldn't help but think of my mom standing right there. And that was one of her favorite songs. And I could see her singing in heaven. And you know, you say, you're dreaming all that stuff. Well, maybe so, but she is singing in heaven. And I know that one day I'm going to be able to sing with her and with Dad. And I so much look forward to that. Time is flying by. Boy, we got to get serious about serving God. And what little time we have left. I just want to say it again. I adore you, God. And if somehow through the preaching of this message, people will come to that same place. I haven't arrived. I'm not where you want to be. You want to be at the foot of the throne of God. Man, you want to be empowered by God. Gospel of John in chapter 14 and verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Holy Spirit power. Verse 26, and I know this summer I preached on the Holy Spirit. This is not that message, but we got to read this text, all right? Verse 26 says, "But the comforter," that's the Holy Spirit, "which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Look at verse 26 of chapter 15. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Chapter 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And the Bible tells us over and over again, verse 13, verse 14, he's going to exalt Jesus Christ. But Jesus made a promise. "I'm going to go home. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to take your sins to the grave. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And then I'm going to ascend on up into heaven. And when I ascend on up into heaven, I'll not leave you alone. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll not leave you without power or without my presence. I will send the third person of the Trinity. I will send the Holy Spirit of God. And he will teach you all that you need to. Everything I know about God, I know because of the Holy Spirit." Amen. Everything. You say, I thought it was the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one that inspired and wrote the Word of God down for us to be able to read. So everything I know about God is because of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. He is that great helper. The Bible talks about, and the word comfort means come alongside of. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, does. And we neglect the Holy Spirit again and again. The Holy Spirit of God baptized us into the family of God when we got saved. That same moment, he quickened us and he made us alive. John in chapter 6, Galatians chapter 2, he indwells us after we got born again. Galatians in chapter 2, he seals us. Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30. He anoints us or energizes us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. He gives unction. That's the punch. Because you see, we can be orthodox, and as far as doctrine, straight as a gun barrel and not have the breath of heaven. And that's why I want to preach what I'm going to preach here this morning. There are lifeless churches all over America. You know, it would be the normal thing for the New Testament Christian to introduce others to Christ and see them get born again. It is the normal thing for the New Testament church that belongs to Jesus Christ to be fulfilling the Great Commission and evangelizing the world. It is a normal thing for the New Testament church to see people born again week after week, new people coming in, born into the family of God. That would be the normal thing. But unfortunately, there are churches all over America that are lifeless. There are New Testament Christians that know right and wrong. Last night on the national prayer call, it just came out of me. And I remember it as clear as I said it, because as soon as I said it, I said, man, that prayer was of God. And I prayed, and I'm praying with brother preachers from all, there were 28 states on that prayer call last night. And when I prayed, God, I'm confident. I believe with all my heart, everybody that is on this prayer line, that we are orthodox, that our doctrine is good, that we're strong. But God, there's so many of us that are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There are so many of us that don't have the breath of heaven upon our ministries. And God, we confess that as sin this morning. And that's kind of what I want to preach this morning. I trust, I pray that God will get a hold of us. Go to Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians and chapter 5 here this morning. I'll just read verses 18 and 19, and then I want to pray. And I want to say this again. The Holy Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. It is an unstoppable life. Before I get into preaching, one of the young guys wanted to, you know, they wanted me to share this because I shared this with some of them. Being unstoppable doesn't mean you're just relentless. You're gonna have some defeats along the way. The Holy Spirit-filled life, you have some defeats, some battles that you seemingly lose, but in the end, it ends up being a victory, ends up being a win. I discovered this when I was in high school. You can't play football the same way you play basketball. Football, Caden, you need to hear this morning, right? Football, you play with a rage. I understand that. Full disclosure. When I played high school football, I played within the realm of the rules. But the truth is, that guy over there carrying the ball, even though I didn't know his name, I wanted to break his leg. That's kind of where I was. That's kind of who I was. I was going to do it within the rules. But I was gonna launch myself into him every chance because he's between me and that football. But you can't play basketball that way. As soon as you bump somebody in basketball, you get a foul. As soon as you run into somebody before long, you're fouled out. So I'm saying this, it's two different approaches. Football, a rage. Basketball, complete focus. Somehow that's got to be balanced out. I have been accused of being relentless even in ministry and going after people. Can I tell you this? Being relentless is never going to be enough. Never. Personality isn't going to get it done. Good looks aren't going to get it done. We need the Spirit of God. In Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, if you were to look at the end of chapter 4 and you were to look at chapter 5 and it talks about the struggle, even in the life of the believer, and actually speaking of immorality and sexual sins of all kinds and all natures here in the beginning of chapter 5. And it says in verse 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So he says, get your life cleaned up. Know what the will of God is. We're going to read that verse again in just a moment. So get your life lined up with the word of God. But along with that, you've got to have the breath of heaven. So even once you're a clean vessel, and you're going to hear about sin in this pulpit. You come here long enough, you're going to hear that adultery is wrong. You're going to find out, you're going to hear that the Bible teaches being unfaithful to your wife or unfaithful to your husband, that that is wrong. That even lusting after a woman is to commit adultery. You're going to hear that kind of thing here. You're going to hear that drinking's wrong. 74 passages in the Word of God that speaks of strong drink and being filled, and it always ended up bad. It was wrong for kings, it was wrong for prophets, it was wrong for priests, and it's wrong for the child of God. These things should not even be, it is a shame to mention, this is what Paul said, a shame to that these things should even be brought up and lived out in the life of a child of God. But once you got everything straight, once you get right, you still need the breath of heaven. Be not filled with wine or in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I want to say this, and I'm going to get to my little outline here. It's a command. Grammatically, in the TR, in the Textus Receptus, right here in your King James Bible, it is not a suggestion. It is a command. Paul was telling the church at Ephesus, the believers that made up the church at Ephesus, you've got to get filled with the Spirit of God. And that's not speaking in some kind of unknown gibberish or glossolalia. That's not it. It's filled with the Spirit of God. And the evidences of being filled with the Spirit, I'll come to that in just a moment. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let's think Old Testament for a second, just to kind of put everything in perspective. Old Testament, God raised up a judge. His name was Samson. He was a Nazarite, took the vow of a Nazarite. He broke all of those vows before he was done. That's why the power of God was taken from him. Now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit never indwelt the child of God, because Calvary hadn't taken place yet, because Pentecost hadn't taken place yet, because the church wasn't born yet. But God wouldn't leave his people alone. The Holy Spirit would come upon that Old Testament judge and empower Samson or whoever the vessel was that God was going to use. And then once the job was done, the Holy Spirit would leave. This is Old Testament. This is pre-Calvary. This is pre-redemption. You understand that? But the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson, and he tore a lion. He ripped it in half with his bare hands. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He took the gates of Gaza and carried them 36 miles in one night and laid them in Hebron. Samson, the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he was able to do supernatural things. You know why? At that moment, he wasn't just a man. God the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the work of man, the work of flesh. It was the work of God the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, he abused that power. And you know the story of Samson. God came upon him one more time, and he was able to take the pillars of that temple of idolatry and bring down the whole house and kill thousands of Philistines. And that was his last act. But remember when they bound him and they blinded him? And he ground out wheat like an animal, and they used him as an animal, and they made fun of him. He thought he still had the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us in Judges that he wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed. That has happened to many churches. The Holy Spirit is gone, and they don't even recognize it. Hey, let's get a little closer. That's happened to many a child of God. That's why great things haven't been done at your house or through your influence, because it's the work of a man and a woman and not the work of God. We got to get hungry for God. And I'll tell you right at the end of the message, I'll tell you right now so you remember it. You could boil down being filled with the Spirit of God in one word: surrender. Amen. We all got our agendas. We all got, I'll serve God except for in this area. Too many of us, we got, man, I'll sell out to God, but God, don't expect me to come here or go there or be in church on Sunday night. And we come up with all kinds of rationale. You'll never have the power of God in your life until you surrender. Samson found that out. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, listen, we got to get this thing right. We've got to get it. And the Holy Spirit is rocket fuel for the Church of Jesus Christ. What would happen if we got everything doctrinally right? We follow the as an individual believer, and of course as a church, we get everything orthodox and right on down according to the Word of God. And I mean, God, again, gun barrel straight. And then we filled up our tank by way of the Holy Spirit and then stepped on the gas. What would happen if God were able to use you and Fundamental Baptist Church and me? Man, the supernatural would take place. That's why I don't mean spooky stuff. I mean people being reached that you never thought would ever get saved. I mean whole blocks, whole countryside, whole you know, byways and highways and hedges and people coming to Christ, and this family just kind of expanding and their whole family coming to Jesus. That's what would happen. That would be a work of the Holy Spirit. That would be a good thing. Look what it says here again now in Ephesians and chapter 5 and verse 16. Redeeming the time, days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. And here it is. And his will is not to be drunk with wine, where does excess? That's the fleshly thing. But be filled with the Spirit. Pretty simple. When a man or a woman gets saved, or a young person gets saved, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians. We've got to turn here quickly. Two verses. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is salvation. This is the born-again experience. And this is what happens when a man or a woman or a young person gets saved. They are immersed by God the Holy Spirit. All right, it says in verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. When you get born again, it's a one-time event, salvation experience. You get born into the family of God, and you're indwelt, and you're energized, and you're quickened, you're made alive, you're baptized, you're immersed. So the day that I got saved, many years ago now, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. God sent his Holy Spirit and he immersed me into the family of God. I became part of the household of God. And he indwelled me, he quickened me. He made my spirit alive and he indwelled me, and I'm sealed by God the Holy Spirit. Tells us that in Ephesians 4 and verse 30. So that's what happens at salvation. That is a one-time thing. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verses 31 and 32. Don't stray. I'm going to try not to get on any rabbit trails. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. These are believers. These are people that are born again. They prayed and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Again, the Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. So salvation is a one-time experience. Being filled with the Spirit of God, that has to happen again and again and again. God the Holy Spirit, New Testament Christian now, we're indwelt and we're sealed. He'll never leave us. He'll never leave us. It's not about me getting more Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit getting more of me. And Bible terminology, it uses the word infilled. That means filled up with the Holy Spirit. That is the prayer I have prayed more often than any prayer in my entire life. I cannot think of a day where I haven't gotten up and at one time in the first couple hours of the day, I haven't prayed, God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that prayer every time I preach, every time I get on a platform, even if it's a short noticed kind of thing. Pastor Raider's here, would you say something? I'll pray, I'll breathe a prayer to heaven. God, fill me right now. I'm going to tell you what that is about in just a moment. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, it is the power of God that's at work. You ever wonder and think maybe all of your efforts are kind of fruitless? I would submit to you those efforts, it's because those efforts were efforts in the flesh. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, something else happens. You can't save a soul, neither can I. You can't get somebody right with God, neither can I. I can't even save my own soul. I can't even keep myself in the family of God. If it were dependent on me, we wouldn't have eternal security. But it isn't dependent on me. It's dependent on God, the Holy Spirit. Well, and that is a wonderful truth right there. The fact that we are sealed by God. Chapter 4, verse 30, just the first couple of words of Ephesians. Grieve not the Spirit of God. Chapter 5 and verse 1, follow God. That is the struggle. Verse 17, understand the will of God. Can I say this? This works no matter what your age is. This works no matter what your vocation is. This works no matter what your IQ is. This works no matter what the level of life you are living in right now. This works. If you're born again, if you would confess your sin and surrender to God, God will use you. Amen. And evidences of being filled with the Spirit of God, briefly, book of Acts. Every time the fullness of the Spirit is mentioned, there is great boldness and souls get saved. Number one evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is somebody gets saved. Because the need is all around us. Everybody is a candidate for salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you get a Christian, a New Testament Christian, born again. They know right. They know wrong. They're a child of God, all of grace, all of mercy. And all of a sudden, they empty themselves of themselves and surrender to the will of God. And the Holy Spirit takes over. That's what's going on in their life. The result is boldness, and souls are going to get saved. There's some other byproducts. Go to Galatians in chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, here it is, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness. Man, you talk about the peace of God. You talk about taking everything the devil throws your way. When you're fit, the Holy Spirit-filled life is an amazing life. I'm not preaching about salvation right now. You say, oh, I got born again. That's wonderful. And you're probably struggling. In fact, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you are struggling. You're struggling greatly. Some are defeated. Some even get to the point where they're depressed. Where if you would surrender to God, if you would be filled with the Spirit of God, nothing artificial. Talks about not drinking oinos, strong drink. Talks about we're in his excess and foolishness. A man gets drunk. Man, I grew up with that stuff. I grew up with all kinds of it. The hard liquor and booze. Man, that was our whole home that I grew up in before dad got saved and before mom got saved. Man, every Friday night it was a party. Every Saturday night was a party. I think back, man, how did dad afford all that booze? I have no idea. And that's what it's all about. And I've seen the heartache. And the pain, and the arguing, and the fighting. I see how an evil spirit like that, even alcohol, takes over a man and changes him, and destroys families, and destroys life. And thank God, dad got saved. Thank God, mom got saved. Man, I owe God so much. Had he not gotten saved, man, where would I be? Where would I be? I adore God. I'm so thankful for all he has done for me. Thinking of a gospel song, I sang it a couple times this morning because my heart's full. I sang it recently sometime in a message, but it's my heart. The other day I went back to the place where we used to live. My little girl, she ran and hid behind the door. I said, honey, you don't have to be afraid. You've got a new daddy now. Amen. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than they were before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell her, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. The power of the Holy Spirit, a life surrendered to God. Here's what's scary with a church our size. We get people that got saved and it was real. And then they started drinking from the poisoned wells of the world. And they're tiptoeing between two different worlds and two different cultures. That is frustration. But if you'll surrender the fullness of the Spirit of God, man, there ain't no telling what God would do. Again, it says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. controlled by and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. That moment that you surrender to God, the Holy Spirit in your life, and you got to do it sometimes several times a day. That moment you do that, that is a moment of power. I love power. And if it were not for Christ, it would be a selfish thing in my life. I desire, I beg for, I am desperate for the power of God. I want God to do so much more than what he has already done. It's like they can never get enough. I love power in the world. You know, for me, pounding the rock, offensive football, just keep driving it down their throat, driving it. That's the kind of defense, bully ball. Man, I love bully ball. Man, you take control. There's something about the power puncher, the big swing man, the guy that throws haymakers in the boxing ring. That to me is very appealing. You know what? I want God's power. I want God's power upon Fundamental Baptist Church. I'll be a little bit selfish, and this isn't carnal. I want the power of God on Tim Rader. I want to know. I don't want to sell God short in any way, shape, or form. Hey, we've got Fox 11 in Detroit, time slot tied up. We've got WLUC Channel 6 in Marquette for this Easter special. We haven't got Traverse City lined up yet. They're kind of dragging their feet just a little bit. You say, why do you want to do all those things, Pastor? To get famous? Are you kidding? The last thing I want people to see is this face. All right. In fact, I'm already nervous about, but I'm just going to try to be filled with the Spirit and forget about it and be myself and leave it up to those that have to edit the program to edit the program. But there's so much that we have, there's so many people we need to reach. Friday between 12 noon and 1 o'clock, I led the National Guard recruiter to the Lord. Amen. In front of all kinds of people. We bowed our heads. She trusted Christ and was born into the family of God. The burden lifted off her shoulders was obvious. Charles Spurgeon, I wrote down a quote. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Even if I were utterly selfish, I would choose, if God would allow it, to be a soul winner. For never did I know perfect, overflowing, unspeakable happiness as when I'm leading a soul to Jesus." That's the truth. Everybody here that's led a soul to Christ, you know what you felt like afterwards. That's refreshing. I remember Harry Reinfelder saying, "I could do this all the time, preacher." I said, "Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do." What has to happen is we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Too many powerless Christians, too many weak and powerless churches. The Holy Spirit of God, authentic, empowered, over the top Christian life. Didn't he say we'd be more than conquerors? Didn't he say I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? If we go forth in the power of the arm of the flesh, it's just a puff of smoke. Yeah, you get what you want for a puff. Now there's even pleasure in sin for a season. It's a puff and it's gone. It's nothing eternal. Man, I want to strike a blow for God. In your life as an individual, let's come right down to where we're at. Have you known the power of God? Paul said to the believers at Ephesus, here's a command. No strong drink. Instead, I want you under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Get intoxicated by the third person of the Trinity. And I hope I'm not belittling God at all by saying that. I mean, overwhelmed and under control, completely surrendered. I belong to God. Man, you got to have that in your life. Say, preacher, it's been missing. Well, how about this morning? Get around. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, choir members, teachers Monday through Thursday, Maplewood Baptist Academy, whatever ministry God has given you, Canaan Land Baptist camps, we have got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't do it in your own strength. Do it in the strength of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.